John chapter 3. We talk about this every once in a while. Study it out a little bit. I want to look at it again today. Today I want to look at... I'm going to put it on the board here. Actually look at it. Go through these verses. Eternal security. And it's under attack. And I think Sister Debbie was telling me that we've been going in the nursing home for years, telling them they're saved and they're sealed. And Scott's been doing that for the last several months. And somebody else goes in there and tells them they can lose their salvation. Well, I mean, I wish they'd explain to me which sin and why they don't have that problem. Everybody else has it, but they could lose their salvation, or they're losing it and regaining it every day, or whatever they're doing. I don't know what they're doing, but I'll read. Look at what the Bible says. And in John 3:16, the Bible says, "For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." So you believe on Christ, you get everlasting life. It doesn't say you get life until you mess up. It says you get everlasting life. And we believe everlasting life is eternal. And eternal life is everlasting. And we get that because... my red marker don't work. Because of the blood of Christ. Of Jesus Christ. The blood of bulls and goats couldn't make a person perfect. They couldn't completely wash away your sin. That's why Jesus Christ came and died. If there's no difference between Jesus' blood and the bulls and goats, what's the point? I mean, just get you a goat, get you some bulls, get you a sheep, pin them up once a year, sacrifice an animal. He died once for all. So that payment is an eternal payment for your sin debt in this church age. God's given man an opportunity to, you know, look at all the opportunity He gave before. He gave Adam and Eve an opportunity, they blew it. He gave people before Noah an opportunity, they blew it. Everybody's blown it. They just blew their opportunity. So He says, "I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll come down here and I'll pay your debt." Amen. You can't mess that up. Don't wait and mess that up. It's by not accepting it. Yeah. By not calling on Christ getting saved. Yeah. So Ephesians 2:8-9 says, well, we'll look at that. Turn to Ephesians 2:8-9. Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." And then the Bible says that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Now, if you understand what that word repentance from, God's not going to turn from it and take that away from you. The gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So He gives you that gift, and it's a free gift to you because He already paid the full price for it. My mom's birthday today. I sent her a birthday card. She got it a couple days ago. And she's not going to open it till today because my sisters both have to work. She said then she wouldn't have any birthday at all today, so she's going to wait and open the card. But I give her a gift, and she doesn't have to send me anything for it.
Amen.
Now, she will because she appreciates it. She'll send me a thank you. I already called her and talked to her this morning. She told me thank you. But she got that gift. She never had to tell me anything.
Right.
She already had it. I paid for it. We put it in the mail. Yeah. She got it. And once it got to the mailbox, I couldn't get it back. So once you're saved, God's stuck with you. But Ephesians 2:8-9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves, the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." You get to Ephesians 4:30. And turn to 4:30 if you would. And Brother Scott, would you read that for me? So right there it says you're sealed. That means you're not going to get a leak because God sealed you. It's interesting. I was listening to the documentary on the Ark finding. They found it back in the 60s or 50s or whatever they found it. They found it way back there. They found it, Ron Wyatt, and they found it. And I knew enough information through listening to Ken Hovind and stuff that it was, I was 85% sure that was the Ark. I'm 100% sure it was the Ark. But if it wasn't the Ark, I still believe the book. But the Ark showed up exactly the way they said it was supposed to be, exactly where they said it was supposed to be. And then everybody's looking on Mount Ararat, and the Bible says mountains of Ararat.
Yeah, that's right.
See, well, you don't think every letter in that word is important?
Right.
If that said Mount Ararat, they'd have never found it. And if they'd have found it, they'd have said, well, see, the Bible's wrong.
That's right.
But God said the mountains of Ararat. So Ararat was an area. And what they call Mount Ararat is not where they found it. They found it on the mountains around that because it settled on the mountains of Ararat.
Yeah.
And if you got an NIV, you couldn't probably find it. I'm serious. I don't know what it says. I don't read that book all the time. I know enough about it to stay away from it. It's got some poison in it. But I don't read it all the time. I haven't read it plumb through from front to back. I don't want to waste my time doing that. But I know that they change almost everything in there that's important. And if God's going to show somebody the Ark, the devil's going to say, well, yeah, look, but look what it says in the old, in the Hebrew and the Greek. You know, it says it was on Mount Ararat instead of the mountains of Ararat. Well, that book says it was on the mountains of Ararat, and that's where they found it. But you're saved, you're sealed. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed unto the day of redemption. Then you get over to back to John chapter number 3. And again, this is very, very important to understand. And most people don't understand this. Scott and I were talking to a guy the other night, didn't understand this. Matter of fact, he was vehemently against believing that you can be born again. But in John chapter number 3, verse 3, it says, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh or whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. So that, in John chapter 3, talks about being born again. What's that mean? That means you're born into God's family.
Amen.
It's a spiritual birth. It's fixing what happened to Adam and Eve the second they ate the fruit. See, the devil said, you shall not surely die. Well, they didn't physically die the second they ate the fruit, but they spiritually died. And that's what's fixed with salvation. Because in Ephesians, it tells us we're dead in our trespasses and sins until we trust Christ our Lord and Savior. And then we are spiritually born into the family of God. So if you're born into the family of God, you say, well, I belong to the Oxer family or the Weller family or the Hogg family or whatever. Oh, well, actually, before you're saved, you actually belong into the family of Satan. You're a child of the devil. Jesus Christ preached it. He didn't preach it to the people down in the corner with a I will work for food sign. He preached it to the religious people.
Right.
He told them they're children of the devil. You know what they were doing? They were doing everything they thought was right.
Yeah.
Everything they could do except trust in Jesus Christ. And he called them children of the devil. And then they get saved. You get saved and you're into the family of God. I mean, you don't have to spend 15 minutes in Walmart to figure out the children of the devil are running around out there.
Right.
It's crazy stuff. Crazy stuff. It's not that I don't feel, you know, it's not that I don't feel sorry for them, so I don't want them to get saved, but let's just look at the reality of the situation. You belong to one or the other.
Right.
You've been purchased with the blood of Jesus Christ, but have you accepted that and trusted Christ your Lord and Savior and called on Him? So John 3, 3 through 8 talks about being born again. And let's look at, under John, let's look at 1 Peter. First Peter chapter 1. Brother Scott, would you read verse 18 and 19?
much as we know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. Amen.
So there you're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Yep.
Now look over at verse 23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So there, it talks about being born again. It talks about being redeemed by the blood and born again by the power of the word of God. Look at back at John chapter number 1. Or the book of John in chapter number 1. In John chapter 1, verse 12, it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name." So right there it's talking about believing on the name of Jesus Christ for salvation and become a son of God. Now, the thing you have to remember, when somebody says you can lose your salvation, they do not understand what born again means.
Right.
They absolutely don't understand what... They don't rightly divide. They don't understand what born again means.
Yep.
And Scott and I were talking to this fellow the other night. I said, do you believe there's a difference in the Old Testament and New Testament? He said, absolutely not. So we took him the verses, showed him about the blood of the new testator, and no New Testament without the death of the testator. It talks about the First Testament and the Second Testament.
Yep.
He said, I don't believe that. I don't feel like that's what that means. He didn't feel like any of the words meant what they meant. I about asked him how he knew what his name was, because I don't feel like your name is what you're saying. You know what I mean? I mean, come on now.
Yeah.
You write it out for me. I feel like that's Janet instead. If we want to go by feelings, let's just go by feelings.
Yeah.
But the thing is, he said that he didn't believe in being born again. And he didn't think there's a difference. I said, you keep the Sabbath. He said, no, we don't believe that because Jesus fulfilled the law. Okay, so there's a difference after Jesus' death. So there's a difference right there. You're dividing. That's partially dividing anyway. That's rightly dividing of that part of it.
Yeah.
So everybody divides between the Old Testament and New Testament, even when they don't know it.
Yeah.
Oh, we don't keep Sabbath because Jesus fulfilled the law. Well, why would they keep it before? It was the same in the Old Testament and the New Testament, what he told me.
Yeah.
But people believe that, but they don't really believe that. They don't know what they believe. You have to tell them what they believe. And if they don't feel like you're telling them what they want to hear, they will feel like, even though you show them from the Bible, it means something else.
Yeah.
But the thing is, if you look at the Old Testament saints, and we talked about this before, Samson lost the Holy Spirit and got it back. Saul, King Saul, lost it and couldn't get it back. And David was begging God not to take it. You're not going to find Paul or anybody else asking God to keep the Holy Spirit. They're talking about being sealed by the Holy Spirit. They're born again. Saul wasn't born again. Samson wasn't born again. David wasn't born again. Now, David was a different situation because David talks about the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. And David's, they had works and faith, and David had so much faith. I don't know how God worked out the balance on their works and faith, but David was a man that God wouldn't impute sin to. David committed two crimes that there was no atonement for, and God blessed him and forgave him. Murder and adultery. Murder and adultery were both capital offenses that were punishable by stoning to death. There was no sacrifice that could be made to get right with God on those two things. And David's coming back to rule and reign again. But the word's being born again. So when somebody says, well, you know you can lose it, remember those words, born again. I've been born again. I'm in the family of God. Once you're in a family, you're in the family, whether you like it or not. Amen. Some people act like they don't like being saved. But once you're in the family of God, you're in the family of God. Look at Romans chapter 4. I kind of got ahead of myself a second ago, but we'll get into this. Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter number 4, verse 6 through 8. Would you read that, Scott?
Even as David also describes the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin.
Okay, so that's referring back to Psalm 32, where David said that in the Psalms. But it's talking about the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. So there's two words you need to remember when somebody's telling you can lose your salvation are born again. And there's another word you need to remember is imputation. Will not impute sin. And imputation simply means it will not be applied to your account. So what happened here, man, I really need a red marker. Lori keeps telling me they're downstairs and I keep not paying attention to it. She's going to tell me I should pay attention to her. I don't know what's going on with this thing. I guess they had some kind of chemical reaction with the red and the black, and it just quit give up. But what happens here? Imputation. I'm going to draw a stick figure because that's about as good as it gets for me. So your sin debt was imputed to Jesus Christ on Calvary. And when you call on Him and trust Him as your Lord and Savior, He imputes His righteousness to you. So that's imputation. You deserve that sin, but God imputes that to Jesus Christ. He gave it to Him on Calvary, and He paid your sin debt. And when you call on Christ and trust Him, the righteousness of Christ is imputed to you.
Amen.
And once you get the righteousness of Christ, He won't impute sin to you.
Right.
Now there's talk about our founding documents and seeing God all over this thing. And the way the system set up, the court system, we talked about this before, the 12 judges and 12 tribes of Israel, and then you got 12 jurors in our court system. Well, there's also a thing that people don't understand where it come from, but it's called double jeopardy. If you've been tried and found innocent, they can't try you for the same offense. They're not supposed to be able to. They play games and do it all the time. They just tweak it a little bit. It's not capital murder now. It's this, so they change something else. They give you the same prison term. But anyway, that's where it come from. Double jeopardy. If you're found innocent, you can never be found proven guilty of that offense. That's where it come from. Because once Jesus Christ paid your sin debt and you accepted it, you can never be found guilty of those offenses. That's where that came from. That didn't come from some lawyer from Harvard that sat around, you know, listening to Socrates and reading Plato, all that junk. It come from the Bible. It come from the fact that once you get saved, you're saved. And once God says you're not guilty of your sin, you're not guilty of it. You're not going to stand in judgment of your sin for salvation if you're saved. You've already done that. You and God agreed you were judged guilty right here. And you said, I'm going to go accept the fact that Jesus Christ took that. And He says, all right, you're innocent, and I'll give you My righteousness. So imputation. Imputation and being born again. And it doesn't hurt. Well, let's see. I'm going to write something in a different color. Imputation, born again, sealed. Now, if you're born out of the family of the devil into the family of God, and you're sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, and God's imputed His righteousness to you, and also remember that you're in Christ. If you're in Christ, and He's at the right hand of the Father, if you're imputed His righteousness, you're born in the family of God, you're sealed by the Holy Spirit, you're in Christ, how can you lose that? You're always going to be, you might not be God's favorite child. You're all looking at me like you never had a favorite child. I mean, we got two fish at home, we got a favorite. I don't like either one of them. But I like one of them less. Amen. They're neither one of them big enough to fry, so they're worthless. So, once you're born in the family of God, you're in the family of God. He says, that it come to me, I will no wise cast out. So, well, yeah, you're born again and then you lose it? You don't lose salvation. Not in the church age. I'm telling you, if you don't rightly divide, you got a problem.
Right.
The Old Testament saints could lose their security.
Yep.
You can't. You're eternally secure. Because the Old Testament saints weren't born again. God didn't give them a promise. You get right once and you're always going to be right. He gave you that promise. He said, because of the blood of my son. If they could get right once and always be right, they wouldn't have needed an altar. They could have just done it one time. Then they could have tore the altar down and threw it away. They could have found the best goat they could find, the best bull they could find, the best wave offering and heave offering and all that stuff in the Old Testament. Just do the best they could do. They could have did exactly like God said to do. And he just said, all right, that cleared you all up. Don't worry about it. But that didn't clear them up. Jesus Christ's blood clears people up for good. They didn't have that in the Old Testament. They didn't get saved looking forward to the cross. If they got safe by trusting God, went to Abraham's bosom, and they got out of Abraham's bosom, went to heaven when Jesus Christ went down and got them out. I'm not taking away from what Jesus Christ did, because if he wouldn't have did that, they would have been stuck there. He had to die to go down there and do that. He died for them too. But they didn't look forward and say, well, the blood of Christ is going to cleanse us. If they'd look forward and said that, they'd say, yeah, just forget the bulls and the goats. The blood of Christ is going to cleanse us.
Amen.
I mean, doesn't that make sense?
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Why would God keep telling? He doesn't tell them to do that now.
Amen.
But after the rapture, they're going to start doing that stuff again.
Right.
And you know what? He's not going to be impressed with their sacrifices.
Yeah.
The devil's going to have them going and thinking, man, we're doing it. We got it going. God's not impressed with their sacrifices. Not the animals anymore. You know what he's going to expect? A sacrifice from them. They're going to be sacrificed. A lot of them be beheaded in the tribulation, and they're going to have to trust God and head into the hills. Head for the hills. Where do you think the hillbillies got that? They got it from the Bible. He tells the Jewish people when the Antichrist starts trying to kill them, halfway through the tribulation, the great tribulation starts, he tells them to head for the mountains. Where do we get that? So head for the hills. What's that mean? We're in trouble. Head for the hills. Because they got a Bible. I mean, I'm talking about people that in second, third grade were reading the book and figured that out.
Yeah.
They were reading it in school.
Yeah.
And that's the reason they could figure it out. They weren't reading other junk. They were reading the Bible in school.
Yeah.
And then nobody telling them it was wrong. Because it's not wrong.
Right.
But if you're imputed God's righteousness and you're born again and you're sealed and you're in Christ, matter of fact, if you're in Christ and he's in you and he's at the right hand of God the Father, how do you lose that? Jesus Christ is going to have to die again forever for you to lose your salvation. Right? He'd have to die and go to hell and stay there because you're in him. How are you going to hell if you're saved? If you're a child of God, you can't. If you're really born again, that Bible says, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you ever realize you were a sinner and you deserve to go to hell, and Jesus Christ died and paid your sin debt, and you realize he's the only one, and you realize he paid the whole thing, and I'm not talking about him and water baptism and him plus this or him plus that. I'm talking about it was all the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're not giving credit to the blood of Jesus Christ and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're putting your credit and trust in something else, you're not saved. And I'm not ashamed to say that. I'm not worried about saying that. These Church of Christ people and all these people that think their baptism saves them are going to go to hell unless they get saved.
Amen.
True salvation is saying, hey, I just need Jesus Christ. He paid the whole thing.
Amen.
But if you've done that, you're going to heaven. And the devil says, nah, not so fast. Let me show you a part in the Bible where it says you can lose it. Well, remember Samson, he lost it. Well, yeah, but he got it back, so then you can lose it and get it back, lose it, get it back. Remember Saul, he lost it. Or David was afraid he could lose it, and David was a man after God's own heart. I'm telling you, this is how a lot of people think, because they don't know the difference between the Old Testament. They don't think they do. They really do. They just don't understand all of it. Well, David, he was afraid he was going to lose it, and he was God's favorite man. Well, David wasn't born again. And then Saul lost it and never got it back. Saul wasn't born again. Saul wasn't imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Saul was under an Old Testament. There couldn't be a New Testament until the death of the testator, according to Hebrews. So those are four things you really need to remember. Imputation, you've been imputed God's righteousness, and your sins were imputed to his account on Calvary. You're born again. You're no longer in the family of the devil or worldly stuff. You belong to God. You're in his family. You're sealed. And you didn't seal yourself. You're not sealed by water baptism. You're not sealed by donating money to the poor. You're not sealed by putting money in that plate. You're not sealed by praying and asking God to keep you. You're sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise. And you're in Christ. Another thing you want to remember, we'll go throw another one up here. This is a real important one too, spiritual circumcision. The spiritual circumcision. Turn to Colossians chapter 2. If you're in Romans, take a right for a little while, you'll eventually get there. Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. Verses 10 and 11. And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power, in whom also ye are circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. So the circumcision in the Old Testament was a type and a picture, putting off the filthiness of the flesh. But what happens when you get saved is God performs a spiritual operation when he separates your soul from your flesh. So your flesh can still sin, but your soul can't. Your soul's sinless. Your soul is what's sealed. Your soul is what's sealed. Say, you know, you get over 1 John, so that which is born of God cannot commit sin. That's true. Your flesh isn't born again. Your soul is. You're dead spiritually. Spiritually, you're born again. You're not physically born again. Right? You don't get a bottle and a pacifier and new diapers when you get saved. Right? You get the get on the milk of the Word of God and start looking for meat later, but you're not born again physically, you're born again spiritually. So this flesh is not going to heaven. Thank God. I mean, this thing gives me more trouble than anybody. You know? And, you know, if you say yours don't, you're a bigger liar than I am. Amen? Because I'm just telling you the truth. This flesh gives us trouble. So when somebody says, well, you know you can lose it. And that really bothers me. It really bothers me about the nursing home. It works my nerve because you got people up there been in church their whole life, and some of them been in churches where their preacher didn't know what the Bible said. He told them how to get saved. He didn't teach them anything else. And praise God he did that. I'm not knocking that. If that's all you got, that's all you need. Even if they think they're going to lose it, they're still going to heaven if they're saved. But they've been in church their whole life, and they've been loving God and trying to do right, and they've been, not for salvation. They've just been trying to do right because what God's done for them. And then some bozo goes in there and says, well, you can lose it. Now you got a bunch of people that, I don't know if they're in their last 15 minutes or last 15 years of their life, and they're going to worry about whether they're going to hell or not.
Amen.
Taking away their security. That's the devil.
That's right.
That's the devil picking on a bunch of innocent old people.
Amen. That's right.
And I don't care if that guy's got $5,000 cufflinks and a Bentley and he's the Amen. Biggest name in Eaton.
That's right.
Or Preble County. He's lying to those people.
That's right.
He's either doing it intentionally or because he's stupid. And if any man be ignorant, let him be ignorant. That's ridiculous. Go down there. It makes you want to go down there and have a 4-hour Bible study on bozos that don't believe the Bible. Amen. Of course, after 4 hours, I think there'd only be a couple of them left in there that were awake. But Miss Donna, she'd still be in. I mean, you know, I'm sure they're not going to talk her out of her salvation. But that's ridiculous. I don't know what your message is today, Scott, but mention that, being born again to him, would you?
It's in there already, brother.
Help him out, man.
It's about sonship, brother.
Help him out. Amen. Tell him to remember those two words. You've been born again.
Amen.
And that preacher comes in and tells him they can lose their salvation. He needs to get born again.
That's right.
Or realize what it means, one of the two.
Amen.
That's ridiculous.
Amen.
And poor old people. And then they get these kids and these cults, and they start teaching them all this garbage, and they got these 14-year-old elders running around with magic underwear telling everybody they've got to be a Mormon to get to heaven.
Yep.
You know, what a bunch of junk. The devil picks on the innocent.
Right.
You know? So, well, those old people aren't innocent. Well, they got back to a place of innocence. They don't sit around and think about the junk you think about. They don't have the battles you have to battle. They got to worry about whether they get their medicine on time, amen, and whether they get to church on time. They're not in Walmart looking at the circus.
Yep.
You know? Told the guys in jail a long time ago over in Illinois, I said, you guys, if you're saved, you got saved. I don't care if you got saved now or you got saved 10 years ago. If you're in this place right now and you're saved, you're freer than most of the people out there in the mansions. Amen. You got a guy on death row, and he's 20 years into it, and he's saved. He's freer than Bill Gates. Probably freer than Joel Osteen. I don't know. Maybe Joel's saved. I hope he's saved. If somebody preached to him like he preaches to them, though, he's still lost. Because he needs to tell people there's a heaven and a hell, and they're going to go to hell if they don't get right with God and trust Christ. But anyway, imputation, born again, sealed, in Christ, spiritual circumcision. If you just know a little bit of Bible, the devil won't be able to talk you out of this stuff. I'll tell you what he'll do next, though. I don't know if we'll do a study on this. What he'll do next is once you get it in your mind and heart that, hey, look, I got a Bible. I'm not losing my salvation. Then he'll say, well, God will just beat you to death because of what you did yesterday. Well, I got it under the blood of Christ. Yeah, but you've done that four times before. Anybody in here never had that conversation with the devil? Well, you acted that way last week, and then you apologized. You even went to the altar. Then you did it again. You think God's going to forgive that? Oh, well, yeah. I do believe that because of this. The blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not saying God doesn't chasten us and punish us. I'm just saying he doesn't hold a grudge and just never forgive you if you get right with him. If you go to him from the heart to get right, he lets you get right. If he's long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, and you're talking about lost people. If he doesn't want lost people to go to hell, do you think he wants his children to be in misery all the time? I mean, not about a sin. Right? If you get right with God, you're right with God. So eternal security is based on the fact of the word imputation, born again, sealed, being in Christ, and spiritual circumcision, where he separates your soul from your flesh. See, that's what happened to Adam and Eve in the garden, I believe wholeheartedly. They had a body, soul, and a spirit, and when their body sinned, they sinned in their body, all that stuff was stuck together, and their soul was accountable for their sin. And when your soul is born again, it's not accountable for your flesh. And you're going to get a new body without blood and without all this mess. But anyway, I hope that helps you out some. I'm not saying you didn't believe you were eternal secure. I just want to make sure that we have enough Bible that we can go, no, I ain't going to believe that. I didn't lose my salvation because I was angry at Kroger's for not getting their chicken done on time. Amen. You know. That's where that judge not stuff comes from, too, by the way. You know? Think about it. Think about it. That's where that judge not doctrine comes from. You know where it comes from? Forgive others as God has forgiven you. Forgive us our sins as we forgive others. Wrong dispensation. That's a good principle to be forgiving. But people go, well, judge not. We're not supposed to judge. You know why? Because they're afraid. They're wicked, and they're afraid that if they judge other people, God's going to judge them. If they let other people off, then God's going to let them off. The only way God lets you off is you get your sin under the blood of Jesus Christ. You got the judge not crowd out there. That's a bloodless doctrine. Judge not. Judge not. Well, I'm not judging. People do that all the time. Well, that guy down the road, he was doing, I'm not judging now. And I'm like, you're not? Go ahead and finish not judging because I got to hear this. Well, he was down there. He said he was saved. He was down there at the bar. What, judge not? I thought you weren't judging. Well, he was down there at the bar doing this and doing that and hanging out with the wrong crowd. That's the same thing they said about Jesus. He's hanging out around the wine bibbers and the sinners and the publicans and all that stuff. Jesus wasn't lost. He was hanging around a crowd that the people said, well, you can't be saved and be around that crowd. Now, I'm not saying you should go hang out at the bar, but the judge not crowd, they judge more than you and I ever could. They spend most of their life judging. They just don't. They want you to think they're not judging. Matter of fact, well, guy Scott and I was talking about, well, let me tell you how I feel about you guys when you come to my door. And I'm like, us guys, we've only been here once, so you're lumping us in here with a bunch of other people, probably Jehovah's Witnesses too. Yeah. Good night. So how do you feel about us? Well, every man's going to stand before God, and you know, everybody's accountable for his own, you know. Okay, well, I agree with that. Everybody's accountable for their own actions and all that stuff, you know. But the truth is, you don't feel like we're right, and you've judged us wrong. Matter of fact, if you don't want to judge, why would you correct this? I mean, this thing was deemed guilty 500 times by that man on his porch. Well, let's say 40 times on his porch. That's not what that means. I don't feel like that. Well, that's, and I'm not making fun of the guy. I hope the guy gets saved. I don't want him to go die and go to hell. But I'm just telling you what people think of this book. They don't care about that book. judge not. Well, you know, they're born that way. I'm not going to judge them. That Bible is just a, that book is a book of slavery. That book's a book of hatred. That book's a hook. They'll judge that Bible. And they'll judge it all day long. And they'll correct it. And they'll deny it. And they'll feel like it means what they want it to mean instead of what it actually says. But they won't judge the sodomite. At least with their words. Oh, judge not. I'm meek and lowly so I can inherit the earth here. Yeah, well, what tribe are you from? Because we want to talk about the meek, and God was talking to Israel back here. But that's where it comes from, being afraid to lose your salvation. And thinking you got to treat somebody some way. The golden rule. Show me the golden rule.
You know what's in the Bible, preacher.
Okay, where is it? Yeah. Do unto others. Like the thief says, do unto others in split, right? I mean, the principle's in there, but they think that's a Bible verse. Yeah. I think that's a Bible verse. But people that think that they can lose their salvation, even if they're blood-bought born again and somebody's told them that and they believe it, then they're like, I got to be real careful the way I treat everybody because I don't want to lose my salvation. I don't want to judge them because I don't want judging me. What they're really saying is I don't want to quit sinning. So if I can't quit sinning, then I'll just say everybody else's sin's all right, and God will look at me and say, well, since you didn't judge their sin, I'm not going to judge your sin. That's not the way it works. They're not going to be standing beside you at the judgment seat of Christ. And if you're lost, they're not going to be standing beside you at the white throne judgment. You're going to be you and the Lord. It won't be, well, but what about the 400 people I didn't judge? And God will go, I already judged them. They're in a lake of fire because they were living like the devil. They had a book that didn't have the word sodomy in it, and they were living that lifestyle. And they never got right. They never got saved. And you didn't judge them, but I did. And you didn't judge your sins either, and I'm going to judge yours. Amen. All your sins have been judged right here when you accept Jesus Christ for salvation. Salvation's done. When you call on Him, mean it from the heart. Now your walk and the judgment seat of Christ, that's going to be a different thing. But imputation, born again, sealed in Christ, and spiritual circumcision. Amen. Any questions before we wrap up? Brother? You mean he got saved before he did all that stuff?
Right.
Man, I don't know what to say about that, honestly, because I've seen some people that I believe are born again do some really stupid stuff and crazy stuff. But you would think, I mean, I believe that a saved person can get so messed up that God quits dealing with them on this earth. But it's hard for me to believe that somebody like that was saved.
Right.
And then again, is somebody that gets that such a reprobate, can they get saved? Or God already hardened their heart to the point and seared their conscience to the point where they can't even get saved? I can't remember which preacher it was that supposedly led John Wayne Gacy to the Lord. I don't know if the guy got saved or not. That's between him and the Lord. But wherever he's at, that's where he's at. It's either in heaven or hell forever at this point. But I don't know. I don't know what to think about that. I mean, If you look at you, I'm saved. I know where I'm going. Every once in a while, a thought comes into my mind, and I'm like, oops. And the devil says, you really saved? Oh, I know I'm saved, but I can't believe that come back. Amen. Words to a song I haven't heard in 30 years. Didn't even know what it meant the first time. Now that I figured out what it meant and don't want to hear it, I know the words to it. Yeah. Still saved. You know. What way? You mean eternal security, that type of stuff, or you're talking about sin and after stuff?
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, you know what the purpose of that is, I believe? So, Jesus Christ died for your sins. You accept Him as your Lord and Savior. You're going to heaven. You appreciate that. You want to live for Him. The devil says, you're wanting to worship this guy. I hate him. So I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll tell you you can lose your salvation. Now you're going to do it for the wrong reason. Now you're going to try to do things right for the wrong reason. You're not going to get rewarded for that. You get to the judgment seat of Christ, you're not going to get rewarded because everything you did was out of the fear of going to hell after you were saved. It's God doing it through you, realizing what His Son done. He's worthy of being worshipped. And the devil says, yeah, you realize that, so I'm going to mess you up. So what I'm going to do is tell you you can lose your salvation. Now you're not doing it because of what Jesus Christ done for you. Now you're going to do it because you're afraid of something that you were afraid of and the reason you got saved. He just messed you all up on that. And talking about people doing things after salvation that are wicked, Paul goes down through a list of things that are some of the most wicked and vile things you can do, and he says, don't do these things. That's paraphrased. But he says, don't do that. Don't you people be fine doing this. You know what they were doing? He was talking to saved believers, and there were fornication going on, stuff going on in the church. And they were letting it go. And I mean, I'm talking about some wicked, wicked, wicked stuff. Not that God looks at it all differently, but I'm talking, if you read it and really figured out what they're talking about, there was some wicked stuff going on that was wrong in Old Testament and New Testament. And then he talks about, let's say this. So I go in Kroger, and they're supposed to have my chicken done at 5:15. I've had the worst day you ever had. Me and Bill's hungry, right? I mean the worst day you could ever imagine. It's 5:30, and they finally get the chicken done. I go up to one of the six registers, and there's only two open, and there's 65 people, and I'm back here at the bananas waiting in line, right? And I finally get up to the cash register, and the cashier says, I'm sorry, I'm going to have to take a break. I'm tired. And I'm like, look, lady, I want my chicken now. I've waited for an hour. And you said, preacher, never say that. No, I'd say it in my heart.
Yeah,
right. It might even come out of my mouth the right day. Air conditioner don't work in my car. It's 95 degrees out. I got to go home and cut the grass. Lawnmower's broke down. My wife's mad. The fish are hungry and they're out of food. I got to keep feeding those things. They're not worth eating. All this stuff's going on in my head. And I get upset with that woman over chicken. This Bible, he's talking about in Corinthians, he's talking about people that were eating and drinking the Lord's Supper, and they were doing it not even thinking about Jesus Christ. And he wasn't talking about losing their salvation. You know what he's talking about doing? He was talking about many of them be sick and many of them be asleep. Asleep means dead in Christ, not lost. They were basically not paying any attention to what His Son done for them. You think that's more important to God or me getting upset about the chicken? You know, people are like, well, I can't be upset with somebody. I might lose my salvation. Well, it says be angry and sin not. We should do that. But he was so upset about people that were saved, that were going to church, that were just making light of what His Son did. They were just getting together to feed the flesh. And he was putting some sickness on them and putting some of them in the grave, putting them to sleep. He wasn't taking their salvation. Now, if you could lose salvation, I'd guarantee you he'd take it for that in the church age, right? If you could lose it and you just, whatever. What? I'm saved, I ain't worried about Jesus Christ. Don't you think he'd take it for that? You're not going to lose your salvation in the church age. And you're not going to get out of the church age to lose it because we're getting out of here before the next age. Amen. But anyway, that's anything else? What's that? Yeah, that right there, that spiritual circumcision is very, very, very important. And Colossians chapter 2, he separates your soul from your flesh. Being in Christ, being sealed, being born again, imputation.